बिहारी। जय राधा माधवा कुंज विहारी, गोपी जना वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी, शोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, शोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीरा वनचारी, यमुना तीरा वनचारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी, जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी शील प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरंग। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिके। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 6 चैप्टर 16 वर्स 44। नहि भगवन् अघटितम् इदम् त्वद्दर्शनानृणाम् अखिल पापक्षयः यन्नाम सकृत् श्रवणात् पुक्कशोऽपि विमुच्यते संसारात्। नहि भगवन् अघटितमिदम् त्वद्दर्शनानृणाम् अखिल पापक्षयः यन्नाम सकृत् श्रवणात् पुक्कशोपि विमुच्यते संसारात्। No, not he indeed, Bhagavan, O my Lord, aghatitam, not occurred, idam, this, tvat, of you, darshanat, by seeing, nirnam, of all human beings, akhila, all, Papa, of sins, Kshayaha, annihilation, Yat Nama, whose name, Sukrit, only once, Shravanat, by hearing, Pukkashaha, the lowest class, the Chandala, Api, also, Vimuchyate, is delivered, Samsarat, from the entanglement of material existence. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. My Lord, it is not impossible for one to be immediately freed from all material contamination by seeing you. Not to speak of seeing you personally, merely by hearing the holy name of your Lordship only once. Even Chandalas, men of the lowest class, are freed from all material contamination. Under the circumstances, who will not be freed from material contamination simply by seeing you? Purport. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 5, Text 16, Yannama Shruti Matrena Puman Bhavati Nirmalaha. Simply by hearing the holy name of the Lord, one is immediately purified. Therefore, in this age of Kali, when all people are very contaminated, the chanting of the holy name of the Lord is recommended as the only means of improvement. Harer Nama, Harer Nama, Harer Nama eva kevalam, kalo nasteva, nasteva, nasteva gatiranyatha. In this age of quarrel and hypocrisy, the only means of deliverance is the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. There is no other way. There is no other way. There is no other way. बृहद नारदीय पुराण। श्री चैतन्य महाप्रभु इंट्रोड्यूस्ड दिस चैंटिंग ऑफ द होली नेम 500 ईयर्स अगो एंड नाउ थ्रू द कृष्ण कॉन्शियसनेस मूवमेंट, द हरे कृष्ण मूवमेंट, वी आर एक्चुअली सीइंग दैट मेन हु आर कंसिडर्ड टू बिलोंग टू द लोएस्ट क्लास आर बीइंग डिलीवर्ड फ्रॉम ऑल सिंफुल एक्टिविटीज सिंपली बाय हियरिंग द होली नेम ऑफ द लॉर्ड। Samsara, material existence, is a result of sinful actions. Everyone in this material world is condemned, as there are different grades of prisoners, there are different grades of men. Yet, as there are different grades of prisoners, there are different grades of men. All of them, in all statuses of life, are suffering. To stop the suffering of material existence, one must take to the Hare Krishna movement of Sankirtan or Krishna conscious life. Herein it is said, Yannam Sakrit Shravanat. The holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is so powerful that if once heard without offenses, it can purify the lowest of men. Kirata Hunandra Pulinda Pulkashaha. Such men who are called Chandalas are less than Shudras, but they also can be purified simply by hearing the name of the Lord, not to speak of personally seeing the Lord. From our present position, the Supreme Personality of Godhead can be personally seen as the deity in the temple. The deity of the Lord is not different from the Supreme Lord. Because we cannot see the Supreme Lord with our present blunt eyes, the Lord has kindly consented to come before us in a form we can see. Therefore, the deity in the temple should not be considered material. By offering food to the deity and by decorating and serving the deity, one gets the same result that one derives from serving the Lord personally in Vaikuntha. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chaksur Unmilitam Yena तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदांतिकं। नमः ओम विष्णुपादाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिन इति नामिने। नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवास आदि गौर भक्तवृंद, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। I'm going to read the translation again, and let's see from yesterday's class if we can make a connection between the two verses. So I'll read both translations. Yesterday's verse was, My dear Lord, one's occupational duty is instructed in Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita according to your point of view, which never deviates from the highest goal of life. Those who follow their occupational duties under your supervision, being equal to all living entities, moving and non-moving, and not considering high and low, are called Aryans. Such Aryans worship you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Today's verse, My Lord, it is not impossible for one to be immediately freed from all material contamination by seeing you. Not to speak of seeing you personally, merely by hearing the holy name of your lordship only once, even Chandalas, men of the lowest class, are freed from all material contamination. Under the circumstances, who will not be freed from material contamination simply by seeing you? So what is the connection between yesterday's verse and today's verse? It's the same person offering prayers, right? Chitraketu. So surely there is some connection because he's offering. So there is some continuity. What do you think might be the continuity? And then someone will say, is it possible you'll read the verse again? My dear Lord, one's occupational duty is instructed in Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita according to your point of view, which never deviates from the highest goal of life. Those who follow their occupational duties under your supervision, being equal to all living entities, moving and non-moving, and not considering high and low, are called Aryans. Such Aryans worship you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Anyone wants to try? Being wrong is okay. It's not nothing. Yeah, totally cool. You're raising your hand for Chaitanya Priya. Go ahead, Chaitanya. Can you give him the mic?
Those who are Aryans or those who are civilized, they are always fixed in Bhagavad Dharma. But those who are not fixed, even if they chant without an offense, they can get the same result.
Very good. What else? In the same vein, what else?
Hare Krishna. Hello, hello. Can you hear me? So the first verse, it appears that it said that the Aryans do not consider higher or lower class beings. So it pretty much goes along with the point that Chaitanya Priya made. Is that, but I guess I could extend it to the verse of Lord Chaitanya that says, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prima Sadhu Kabunai Shravanadi Shuddha Chaiti Kodaya Doi. Love of God is eternally within everyone's heart. And even if a person is not a devotee, if they hear without offenses, then that could be immediately waking up, regardless of how externally sinful they are. That this love, this treasure of love, could immediately be wakened by Shravanadi or Shravana, as this verse says. So
anyone
that's my perspective.
Wants to add, modify, embellish?
Small addition is that those who are engaged in their occupational duties, they can easily attain Krishna, but those who are like Pulinda, Pulkasha, they're totally addicted to the sinful life. They can also be addicted. They can also get a Krishna, Krishna's mercy by just by hearing once.
Right. Krishna is not. Well, sure, how can we say?
I had one thought that it's saying those. It's basically the first verse is the followers of Bhagavad Dharma are the Aryans, and the second verse is indicating that even just by hearing or chanting the holy name, that one is purified, you know. So it's, in one sense, perhaps one could see the connection to that. It's indicating the process of Bhagavad Dharma and Kali Yuga is simply by chanting that one gets all the results. You know, the first verse is mentioning through occupational duty, but seeing it in light of, you know, our context also, we can see how it's highlighting the glory of the holy name.
Very good. The Aryans are those persons who are aware of their duties because they are trained so. They're cultured. So they follow their occupational duties according to scripture. And because they follow it according to scripture, they're able to access Krishna. They're civilized. And in today's verse, Krishna is not just limited to the civilized. Krishna is accessible to and available for even the uncivilized. Because Krishna is the source of all living beings. He's not just, oh, I only hang out with them. To you, I'm not available. Krishna is available to everyone, including the chandalas. The chandalas are not considered civilized. That's why the word is used in today's verse. Pukkashaha. Pukkashaha means the lowest class. These persons, one, are not aware, and more importantly, not interested in understanding their duties. They only understand something very basic like eating, sleeping, certainly mating and defending. Beyond this, they don't care. So they don't care how they get to eat. They don't care how they get to sleep. Definitely don't care about their how they get to mate. And defending all the time. So the Aryans, I'm going to keep contrasting this so that we appreciate what the verse is taught, what Chitraketu's realization is. The Aryans are those who voluntarily hold themselves responsible for maintaining the limits of morality and ethics. They're governed by it. Like in sadhana bhakti, we are asked, be very careful to follow all the rules and regulations properly. Because when one follows rules and regulations, one becomes cultured. It's called obedience, it's called discipline. There are certain rules by which society is governed. And we are meant to follow them for our peace and others' peace. If we don't follow those rules, then we cause disturbance. Utpada eva kalpate. Shruti, Smriti, Puranadi, Pancharatrike vidhim vina. Vidhi means procedures or methods. Vidhim vina, one who doesn't care for what's said in the Shruti, Smriti, Purana. Of course, the verse talks about Aikantiki Harer Bhakti. One does a self-styled devotional service, such a person is a nuisance. I'll come to a practical application to it too. So is a nuisance to society. And in the 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is quoting this, that yaha shastra vidhim utsrijya vartate kamakarata sana siddhim avapnoti na sukham na shantim na sukham na param gatim. That a fellow who doesn't care for, hey, what the Vedas are saying, what does scripture say, how should I conduct my life according to scriptures, what is it that I should do or should not do, one who doesn't care to know these things, sana siddhim avapnoti, he can never perfect anything that he does. Always will be full of some difficulty or fault. Na siddhim, na sukham, he can never be happy. Na param gatim, he cannot not attain the ultimate goal of life. Basically what Krishna is saying is that a demon is a fellow who is callous to, ignorant of, doesn't care for scriptural injunction. That which regulates, it restricts a person from doing something foolish. Now one might say, hey, that's too constraining. I don't like scripture constraining me. But why does scripture constrain a person? What do you think? Yeah, discipline of course, but why? It's for their own good. How? Very good. They're called regulative principles of freedom. The scriptures stop a person from being a slave to their senses and mind. Therefore, it urges a person to act on the platform of duty instead of the platform of the mind. A few verses ago, we had heard the phrases vishama, vishamya mati and vishamya dhya. Contaminated mind and contaminated intelligence. So scripture tries to regulate it so the mind becomes purified. And it stops a person from being whimsical and considers duty. Duty automatically puts a person outside of one's own considerations because it says, oh, what is it that I'm supposed to do for others? What am I supposed to do according to scripture? Versus my own mind that says, don't do this today. I don't like it. I like it. Whatever. It's too whimsical. And whimsical behavior leads to problems. The problem is that whimsical behavior will make a person step outside the boundaries of, I guess, civilization, or being civilized, in order to get that sense gratification. And when one follows that whim, one stops considering how they are impacting others. I have a desire, I need to get that desire, and anyone is on my path, I will crush them. Siddoham Balavan Sukhi. This is Krishna's description of demoniac mentality. I have a desire and I will get it. Anyone comes in my way, watch out. And in Kali Yuga, everyone is leading such a whimsical life. So everyone at every moment is quarreling with each other. Why? Because my whim is clashing with your whim. For no reason, there is quarrel. Even if there are good reasons for quarrel, still, it's not worth it. But people quarrel. So scripture puts a little fence. Hey, don't go outside. It's for your safety. It's for your good. So chandalas are those persons who don't care for it, who are not interested in being civilized. So for them, Krishna makes himself very easily accessible, that simply by hearing his name, even they can become purified. They get to see him by the process of hearing his holy name. So Chitraketu Maharaj is saying, if just by hearing about you, forget about seeing you, just hearing about you can transform a person so much, then what to speak of someone who sees you face to face? That's so amazing. So it's interesting that last night I was studying this chapter of Bhagavatam where Krishna frees the 20,800 kings who were captured by Jarasandha. And their prayers are very much like this one. Do you know the story? What happened? Jarasandha, he is a fellow who didn't like Krishna at all. And he was defeated by Krishna 17 times. And each time, he took with him almost 10 Akshauhinis of warriors. And just for context, I think it is 10 or something, 10 or 11. The whole Pandava army in the Battle of Kurukshetra was a total of 7 Akshauhinis. Jarasandha's army that he took to attack Krishna was 11 Akshauhinis. So much bigger. Even Duryodhana's army was 11 Akshauhinis. Krishna single-handedly defeated him 17 times. Someone who gets defeated once, twice, thrice, you would assume that they learned their lesson, right? Now this dude, this Prabhu, didn't get it. 17 times. Single-handedly. It's not like even an army fought. Krishna single-handedly defeated him. And he thought, one more time, I will try. So when he came another time, Krishna ran away from the battlefield. So what would Jarasandha think? Hey, 17 times I was weak. This time I am strong. Completely foolish. So anyway, the story goes that because Jarasandha was going to attack any time, Krishna took all of the Yadus and created Dwaraka in the middle of the ocean, away from land, so that Jarasandha cannot attack. So the ocean was created as a moat. It worked as a moat so that the armies cannot just come and attack. So then once Yudhishthir Maharaj, he expresses a desire to Krishna. My dear Krishna, just to glorify you as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I would like to perform the Rajasuya Yajna. Can you please give me your blessings to do so? So Krishna said, yeah, sure. I think it's a very nice idea. That way you will be renowned as the emperor of the entire planet. And he said, you please send all your brothers in the 4 directions to amass wealth. Let them take the sacrificial horses in all directions. That was the usual method, that there will be a horse with the flag of the king, and the horse would just walk from one kingdom to another kingdom. And the horse would be followed by the army of this particular king. And the other king, in whose kingdom this horse had walked in, he has to either fight or give himself up as a subordinate king to the emperor. So it's described that Maharaj Yudhishthira's horses, they just walked without any opposition. I think Bhima went to the east, Nakula went south, Sahadeva went west, and Arjuna went north. And each of them had a particular group of armies. The armies that Arjuna went with are called the Kekayas. So Arjuna went, no one opposed him, all of this. But they knew that there was one king, the king of Magadha, whose name was our nemesis, Jarasandha. And they knew that Jarasandha was very powerful. In fact, Jarasandha was so powerful and a bad ruler that he had captured 20,800 kings and put them in jail and taken over their kingdoms, their wealth, their treasury, the whole thing. So then they were wondering how to defeat Jarasandha. So Krishna said, well, I always go to Uddhava for advice. So they went to Uddhava. And Uddhava thought about it and said, you know what, he's already fought 17 battles with Krishna. And the 18th time when Krishna left the battlefield, he thinks that he is more powerful. And this way he's going to keep fighting. This is not worth it. But there is one good quality in Jarasandha, that he likes to honor Brahmanas. He will never say no if a Brahman asks him something. So you should go disguised as Brahmins and ask him for a one-on-one combat. And the only person who can fight with him would be Bhima. So Krishna, Arjuna and Bhima, they disguised themselves as Brahmins. And they went to Jarasandha. They reached his palace exactly at the time when Jarasandha was ready to give charity. So the point I'm elaborating the story so you will learn, or we will all learn, how on one hand he's extremely cruel, on the other hand he's very charitable, but overall he's a super demon. The reason that a person is a demon is because he doesn't accept Krishna, regardless of whether he's very charitable or not. Generally we fall for some quality and say, oh, he's a very nice person. Yasyasti bhakti bhagavati akinchana sarvair gunair tatra samasate suraha. Only a devotee has all the great qualities. Harava bhaktasya kuto mahat guna. He says, for a non-devotee, how can there be any good quality? Manorathe nasati dhavato bhe. They're all whimsical. They're just driven by the mind. So then Jarasandha saw these three persons and he said, oh Brahmins, please ask for whatever charity you want. And he saw, although they were wearing Brahmin-like dress, he saw that their bodies were like really muscular. Can you imagine Bhima putting on a little chador and dressed up like a Brahmin with a Brahmin thread? Jarasandha looked and he said, boy, these Brahmins are really muscular. Arjuna is not some lanky Prabhu, he's very muscular. Bhima is like super muscular, and Krishna. And he saw that on their arms and on their shoulders were marks of the bow strings because of so much twanging of the bow. You know, it causes apparently marks. And he looked at their arms, he looked at their shoulders, big, big Brahmin. He's like, what kind of Brahmin? I said, please tell me, what would you like? They remove their disguise and say, before that they glorify him. Jarasandha, you're such a charitable person. There is nothing that you will refuse. There is nothing that you fear. you will always do the right thing. We would like to fight with you. We would like to have a one-on-one duel with you. And Krishna then says, I am Krishna, your enemy. And Jarasandha suddenly loses his service-mindedness to the Brahmins. And he says, you fool, you think you have come to fight with me? This is how he speaks to Krishna, Hare Krishna. I will do it. But I am not some fellow who will just pick a weak opponent. You, Krishna, you ran away from battlefield, so you're not a match for me. As far as Arjun is considered, he's weaker in physical strength as compared to me. Someone who's my equal is Bhima. Because in this, there's also arrogance, right? The arrogance of that Kshatriya is that if he picks a weak opponent and he kills him, people will say, oh, come on. There was no fight. There was nothing really fight. You picked a very weak opponent. You must pick your equal. And that was the whole plan, that he would pick his equal. So he picked Bhima. And they decided, they left the palace, went to the grounds where they would fight with each other. Jarasandha gave Bhima a massive club. It was so difficult to lift. It had all these spikes in it. And they started fighting with each other. They beat each other like anything with those maces. Bam, bam, crash. They started punching each other. And this, their punch is not like really strong punch. It's described that when Jarasandha hit the mace on Bhima's chest, the mace broke. So then they fought and fought. They fought for 27 days. And there was no outcome. 27 days. And it's described that from the sunrise to sunset, they fought like anything to kill each other. In the evening, they sat together and had dinner and they were joking with each other. Then morning again, they were... So then Bhima became a little worried. And he asked Krishna, what to do? It was Jarasandha, 27 days. And he doesn't look tired. I'm becoming tired. What's going on? So Krishna didn't answer the question. He just picked up a little twig and he slit it in half like that. And Krishna and Bhima knew what to do. The reason Krishna did that is the word Jarasandha. Sandha means to join. Like we say, Sandhya, Arati. Sandhya means transition point. From night to day. That's called Sandhya. From morning to evening. The afternoon, noontime is called a Sandhya. And then evening to night is another transition called, in English we call it dusk, but it's called Sandhya. That's the three times one's supposed to chant Gayatri, like that. So Sandha means joined. And Jara, there was a demon. Her name was Jara. And she had joined this fellow. So his name became Jarasandha. Because when he was born in separate parts. Like two lateral parts, one half with one eye, one nostril, half a mouth, you know, half a chest, like that. One leg, another piece was born. And Jarasandha's father was very disappointed to see such a child and he apparently threw the child out. And so Jara picked and put this fellow together. So his name was Jarasandha and he became very powerful. So next day when they were fighting, Bhima suddenly toppled Jarasandha, put one foot on his thigh and picked the other leg and go and slit him in half. And that was the end of Jarasandha. So then Krishna, he took Jarasandha's son. His name was Sahadeva and made him the king. And part of his becoming the king was his responsibility to release the 20,800 kings. So when those kings were released, it's described in the Bhagavatam, that each of them because they were very ill-treated in the prison, they were fully emaciated. Their Kshatriya luster had gone. They're all like this matted hair, beards, you know, completely had lost all the vitality in their body. They were weak and like that, tired, dirty, disheveled, because they were living in the dungeons. But Krishna stood in front of them in his wonderful four-armed form. And so these kings, they offer prayer. And this connected here. The prayer they offer, the very first verse, very interestingly, is that they don't blame Jarasandha. They don't say, look at what this fellow has done to us. They forget that animosity. Why? Because seeing Krishna removes from one's heart such contamination. Like it is said, Akhila Papa Kshayaha in this verse. Akhila means in totality or complete. Papa Kshayaha. Kshaya means to reduce or diminish. Papa Kshaya means completely diminished or removed. So when the animosity was gone by seeing Krishna, naturally they never felt as if they are victims. So they didn't blame the other person. It is because of him. They didn't. They just prayed, oh my dear Krishna, we are in this condition because we as kings were very arrogant. We became Unmada, they say. Unmada means intoxicated with the power that we had over our people. And we considered this temporary body as real. And the designation as kings. And therefore, we caused a lot of suffering for others. And by providential arrangement, we are now facing the same outcomes. And they describe that by seeing you, we feel completely cleansed. And now we understand that you are the actual Supreme Personality of Godhead, the owner and the master of everything. We are but servants. Can you please tell us how we can remember you all the time for the rest of our lives? Very beautiful prayers. So this Chitraketu is speaking about that. This for someone doesn't even have to see you. They just have to hear your name. And the same potency is in the devotee of Krishna, the pure devotee of Krishna. The Ganges purifies a person when they bathe in her waters. Gangara parashakele paschate pavan. One who takes a bath in the Ganges, that person is cleansed. But this devotee offers this prayer, paschate pavan darshane pavitra koilo e tomara gun. That the Vaishnava is such that by looking at a Vaishnava, one feels purified. Darshane pavitra koro. It's the song, E Baro Karuna Karo Vaishnava Goshai. You heard the song? Yes? No? Yeah, it's a very beautiful song. Yes or no? Yeah, and that song concludes with, it says that if you Haristhane Aparade, if you commit an offense to the deity or to the Lord, to Lord Krishna, Tare Harinam. You can chant Hare Krishna and be freed of that offense. Because Krishna's name is very liberating. But it says, Tomasthane Aparade. For one who offends a Vaishnava, Nahi Paritran. It doesn't matter what, how much you chant, how much you do, it just will not be effective. Because Vaishnavas are meant to be worshipped. So it's not just the great pure devotees. Every devotee is great. In their own right, they're very great. So we shouldn't offend devotees. Tomastane aparade nahi paritran. Why? Because he says, Tomara hridaye sada govinda vishram. Vishram means resting. That in your heart, Lord Govinda is always peacefully resting. In anyone's heart, Govinda is not necessarily always peaceful in the sense that so much sense gratification. Like in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna describes that one who takes on austerity whimsically and not guided by scripture and guru, he causes disturbance to the Paramatma. So, Tomara Hridaya Sada Govinda Vishram, Govinda Kohena Vaishnava Prana. That Govinda says, the devotee is my life. So, even the devotee has such efficacy that one doesn't even have to see the devotee. One has to just think about the devotee and one can be purified. It's that potency. So Chandalas, they have no access. They don't have access to the deity. They don't have access to Pancharatra method. They have no access. So they can hear Krishna's name. In Kali Yuga, as Acharyanishtha was saying, everyone is considered Chandala in the sense that one is not born from purificatory processes. I'm looking around the room. I can't say that all or most, none of our parents did Garbhadhan Samskar. I know. But by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and his followers and Lord Chaitanya's order, we have access to, we're sitting in the presence of Radha and Krishna, sitting in the presence of Srila Prabhupada, in the presence of Krishna as Bhagavatam. We're chanting Hare Krishna. I mean, how is this possible? If it were not for super causeless mercy. And we have that access by the holy name, by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya's order. Yannam Sakrit Shravanat. And it says Sakrit, even once. It doesn't have to be again and again. Even once. There's only a little fine print that one must hear it without offenses. So we understand that the reason by hearing once it doesn't cause the same effect in us is because there are offenses. In today's context, we can think of offenses as our urge to act on the basis of our attachments without considering others. This is offensive. Because what I feel, what I value is more important. And I don't care how others feel and what others value. Offense. So we hold on to those things. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, at least my appreciation of it is, he talked about Sankirtan. Sankirtan means with others. This is not a process where I can think of myself only. It's not possible. If I have to think of my benefit, it is in relation with another person, with other persons, other devotees. Because Lord Chaitanya, his instruction is an antidote to Kali Yuga's problems. What is Kali Yuga's problem? Quarrel and hypocrisy. Quarrel for nothing. So the antidote is cooperation. If we don't cooperate, we will see Kali enter in our lives. It's the easiest method. In Kali Yuga, Kali doesn't have to try different methods. You know, for example, in the Satya Yuga, they would try, you know, the heavenly damsels would come and tinkle their ankle bells and, you know, shake, you know, move their hips and bewilder the persons. In Kali Yuga, such serious things are not even necessary. All he does is Kali just makes two devotees fight with each other, just for nothing. And that's it. And he is peacefully sitting there. And what happens in Kali Yuga is when two persons quarrel and fight, you'll see that the rest of the community starts polarizing themselves because I'm supporting this viewpoint, I'm supporting that viewpoint, and Kali is like, they don't need lust, greed, envy, and all that. That's too big. This quarrel, small thing. And if you really analyze it down to the microscope, the reasons we quarrel are so, can I say, stupid or just worthless? But we fight. Because at that moment, being right is more important than being a servant. For somehow, being wrong, our whole world crashes for us. Why? Because Kali is playing with us. We allow, we shouldn't say Kali is playing. Kali is always playing. We allow Kali to play with us. And that is dangerous. So he says, Yannama sakrit chavanat ukkasho api vimuchyate samsarat. We should be worried about samsara. Samsara means that by which we are contributing to another birth. And if we are not worried about that, then go right ahead. Let's go right ahead and do whatever we like. So, chandalas, they don't care. That is the meaning of a chandala. They are considered to be the fifth ashram. Because there is no fifth ashram. They don't fit shudra also. In fact, shudras are considered really amazing. Very advanced fellows are called shudras. Worse than shudras are called chandalas. Chandala literally is dog eater. And Prabhupada quotes, Kirata Hunandra Pulinda Pulkasha, the whole long list of persons who don't care to be guided by this cooperative spirit. Very interesting. They will cooperate with each other for fighting, but they will not cooperate with each other for benefiting each other. This is the problem. And even among them, they will fight again and again for small things. So, any comments or questions? So we're very fortunate that we have been given this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra to actually help us remove those abrasive skin that we have by which we cause friction and there's little fires and sparks. We shouldn't allow it.
Hare Krishna.
We can hear you.
Okay. I probably don't need my voice is pretty loud enough. thank you for the class. This kind of reminds me of this whole class reminds me of Harinam from recently and of last year. Basically, there was two incidents as far as not hearing the holy name without offense is how one can, you know, kind of instantly like respect devotees. So there was an incident last year when we were in the subway. There's been many nice incidents where I would say, you know, there was, forget my word, like ghetto people like dancing and stuff to the carousel. Black people, of course. And there was this one girl, you know, she was dancing very, let's say, you know, we had to turn our heads away.
Provocatively.
Yeah. Michael was actually, I'm glad he's here. He was actually there. And so we had to, you know, but from an external point of view, she doesn't have any good qualities in a sense, like you quote that verse, Yasasi Bhattir Bhagavati Akinshana. So she seems like she doesn't have any good qualities. But she was there with her friends for maybe a long time, a few hours. And then at the end of the kirtan, or when she left, she pretty much encouraged her friends, and she basically said, we have to offer our respect. She literally got down on the ground to offer obeisances to us and kind of encouraged her friends. She was like, you got to offer your respects. And so I was thinking maybe this incident won't happen again. And it did. Recently we went on Saturday. So it was around 7 a.m. And this one black guy, he came and saw a kirtan. Daitu was chanting and had some really nice kirtan going. And he was dancing for a long, long, long time. And then at the end of it, he literally got down on the ground, offered obeisances. And he was offering obeisances on the ground at least like over a minute, 2 minutes. I'm not sure, for a while, a long time. And so this kind of, this verse kind of, you know, we kind of practically see it, you know, when we go out for Harinam, especially in the subway. There's been many nice incidents like this in the subway. So I really like the subway kirtan. So.
It's the nature. Any other questions, comments? Jitendra Prabhu.
I was reading this book, and it'll be 40 years tomorrow. This is Karma's book, called The Great Transcendental Adventure, and it was talking about the Sankirtan devotees. The paragraph goes, although it was legal for devotees to distribute books in many Australian cities and towns, some authorities still objected. A few vehemently opposed. On the 23rd of December 1974, a party of book distributors was arrested in Darwin, the capital city of the Northern Territory, lying on the shore of the Arafura Sea in the tropical top end of Australia. Their books and money were confiscated, they were jailed, and then finally unceremoniously thrown out of the city. Two days later, on Christmas Day, Cyclone Tracy, with a wind velocity of 217 kilometers per hour, totally obliterated Darwin. Australia's largest natural disaster destroyed 9 out of every 10 homes and left 62 people dead and 1,000 seriously injured. The entire city was evacuated, leaving 45,000 people homeless and a damage estimated at $880 million. I thought that was kind of interesting, considering that's like 40 years tomorrow. Hare Krishna.
Yeah, turn it this time.
That's incredible. It reminds me how the government is responsible for the karma of the citizens. Mm-hmm. So because the government acted that way, the citizens had to pay their reaction.
This is what the kings were offering prayers to Krishna, that we as kings, we have acted badly. One becomes arrogant, thinking that the kingdom is theirs, the wealth is theirs, like that.
So the natural question in this verse seems to be that, not to speak of seeing you personally, merely by hearing the holy name even once, are freed from material contamination. Under the circumstances, who will not be freed from material contamination simply by seeing you? When Krishna appeared, so many people saw him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they all got cleansed of their material contamination.
It is described that everyone who was on the Kurukshetra battlefield attained their Swarupa, even if they were on the other side. And those who saw Krishna without offenses, they attained Swarupa. Those who had offenses, it didn't work. We've also been chanting many years. We haven't understood Swarupa yet. There is something else that's blocking. One who can see without that offense immediately can fully realize Krishna. When
and recognize who he was, they still got liberation at the end of their life.
Well, none of the residents of Vrindavan consider him God. They didn't have any offensive mentality. Or in the case of Ajamila, he called out to his son. He was not even calling out Krishna, he was calling out to his son. It was described that from the Acharyas that it was Abhas Naam. There was no offense in it. It was fully attached with no offense. The Vishnu Duta showed up. He was surprised. Who are they? And the Yamadutas were like, who are these people? Because their paths never cross. Where Yamadutas are there, Vishnu Dutas are never there. Vishnu Dutas are there, Yamadutas are never there. So who are you? You look very amazing. Who are you? Where do you come from?
Yeah, I was just thinking also, you know, Namo Mahavadanyaya, mm-hmm. When Lord Chaitanya comes, if you see him, you don't just get liberation, you get prema.
Prema. And not only those who saw him, you know, when he was in South India, it's described that Lord Chaitanya would travel through one village and he would be chanting Hare Krishna, dancing. And a whole village would see Lord Chaitanya. And they would get like ecstatic symptoms of prema and bhava. they would be like incessantly chanting Hare Krishna without even their knowing it or volition, I guess. And when this person would go to another village, that entire village would chant Hare Krishna just by looking at this person. And that person would go to another village, and that whole village, they never met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They just saw the person who saw the person who saw the person. But they got love of Godhead. That was his potency.
I remember reading that, I think, well, Krishna says, anyone who sees a devotee who's absorbed in ecstatic love, I'll never reject that person. That person will come to me.
I've been meditating on Ramayana because very soon South India Yatra is starting, and it's something I really miss badly. And in that, there is a particular pastime that when Lord Ramachandra is on this side of the ocean getting ready to build a bridge, or I think they've already built a bridge, or just about something, Vibhishana flies from Lanka, abandoning his brother, and he comes. And Sugriva, Lakshmana, they all tell Lord Ramachandra, do not accept him. He's come to surrender to you, but don't accept him, because he may be a spy. He's a Rakshasa, after all. So Lord Ramachandra looks at Hanuman, says, what do you think? And Hanuman says, it doesn't matter. If they come to you, I know you will accept them. So Lord Rama says that one may be a Rakshasa, however horrible the person is, if he once comes to me and even says, my dear Lord Rama, from today, I am yours and you are mine. I will be forever indebted to him and I will never leave him. Even if he leaves me, I will never leave him. Just by one saying that, I completely sell myself to that person. He's so inviting. He's so accommodating, so much concession. We keep moving from our position.
Can I ask one more?
Sure.
Maybe anyone else have? Question is that as aspiring Krishna Bhaktas, the pastimes of the Lord's other incarnations are very attractive, and they're certainly very influential. At the same time, our cultivation is more in the line of Raj. Mm-hmm. So does that ever pose a conflict? How, you know, absorbing oneself in this particular Leela, one develops an attraction towards that form, or, you know, directing oneself more in a particular direction.
Yeah, but let's consider both sides. If one says, oh, I'm attracted, it's Lord Rama's pastimes look so amazing. That doesn't mean we will become less in fidelity to Krishna and Vrindavan. Or then the other side is also dangerous. I will not hear Lord Ramachandra's pastimes because I'm scared I'll get attracted to him. It's the same Krishna that we are rejecting. So one who is in Vrindavan, they will appreciate that, our wonderful Lord Krishna, he has such so many, he can do any pastime, and all his pastimes are very wonderful. Like that. Even in Lord Chaitanya's entourage, the story of Murari Gupta, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed, he should go to his house every day, to Murari Gupta's house, every day. And in Murari Gupta's house, Lord Chaitanya performed some really amazing pastimes. As Varahadev, by the way, he put a pot on his Varaha and he was running around the house. I am Varahadev. And he gave him an instruction. Today only, from now on, only chant Krishna's name. Murari Gupta said, yeah, whatever you say, Lord Chaitanya. And next day he was very morose. He was crying. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, why are you crying? Why are you like this? He said, I have a problem. What is your problem? I'm attracted to Lord Rama. I'm just so attracted to Lord Ramachandra. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, oh, I was only testing you. You're attracted to Lord Rama because you're Hanuman. And that's wonderful. So it's not like that's a problem that if you're, then the Bhagavatam should have been only one canto, 10th canto. and no more other cantos because, you know, that's distracting. You know, it's appreciating Krishna's variegatedness, his different ways of manifesting his pastimes, different devotees, different ways in which they appreciate and offer prayers to him. We appreciate that. Our goal is that, our goal is not so much, well, I shouldn't say it. Our goal is to develop our love in the way that the gopis have for Krishna. Therefore, Vrindavan Krishna. Because that love is the most intimate and we aspire for that. That kind of selflessness. But that doesn't mean if it's Lord Rama or it's distracting. And that's not what you were saying. But
I think at a certain stage in one's bhajan, our acharyas do mention also that on very higher levels that they tend to particularly focus on
sure.
particular
In fact, there is a whole, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna writes, no other form but the two-armed form of Krishna with the flute, Shama Sundara, so specific. Just so that we don't lose the mood. That's the point. The mood is Vraja Bhakti. That's the mood we want to develop. But doesn't mean other pastimes are. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard these pastimes again and again and again and again. Dhruva's pastime again and again. Prahlad Maharaj's pastime again and again. He would finish and then the devotees would ask Lord Chaitanya, what should we do? He would say, again. And they would recite the whole thing again. Oh, now we are done with this pastime. What next? Again. Dhruva's and Prahlad Maharaj's pastime.
Just a continuation of Acharya Nishtaprabhu question that he told that in higher level of bhajan, let's say in Vrajapakti, the particular devotee is attracted to a particular group of, I think Daita Prabhu was giving the lecture, that particular group of person is attracted to a particular group of gopis. Mm-hmm. So you don't want to insult that gopi, then it started. Right. So what is that then?
You don't want to insult that gopis?
No, you don't want to insult that gopi, you don't want to serve that gopi. He just feels agitated by serving that gopi.
I think it is called higher level of exclusivity. There's a particular pastime of Raghunath Das Goswami. But, you know, the same Rupa Goswami is a particular mood. I mean, we can't say, oh, I should also cultivate like that. Or, you know, Rupa Goswami, he had a dream. If you go, there's a place called Satyabhamapur. Rupa Goswami was there. And he was thinking of composing a play. And in his dream, Satyabhama, now she's a queen from Dwaraka, she appeared in Rupa Goswami's dream. And she said, I appreciate that you want to write about Krishna. Don't write it as one play. Make it two plays. One Krishna in Vrindavan and one Krishna outside of Vrindavan. So they named them Lalita Madhava and Vidagdha Madhava. And so when he came to Lord Chaitanya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, oh, I heard that you were writing plays. Say something. You know, no one knew. Of course, Lord Chaitanya was... So we may cultivate certain mood. Those are Raghunath Das Goswami's mood. It's a little difficult to explain and also difficult to understand. Their affinity, of course, he is Manjari of a particular order. So he has a particular gopi that he is serving. And in that, there is this transcendental rivalry between Chandravali's group and Srimati Radharani's group. Chandravali, Padma, they're all in that group. And Radharani, Lalita, Vishakha, they're all in this group. And that rivalry is to enhance Krishna's happiness. It's that rivalry. There's no other rivalry. Because within that rivalry, they're actually appreciating each other's devotion to Krishna. Oh, Krishna always goes there because she is so nicely serving him. Why did Krishna go there? Because mana is part of that leela. It is not the material envy that we are accustomed to. It's a particular type of rasa. The not even rasa. It's the perfection of a rasa in which Krishna is always, you know, oh, what? Like the gopis, they're angry with the flute. Why is he always there? He's so fortunate. So they actually steal him. You know, last time they steal Krishna's flute because they cannot tolerate that Krishna's flute is always in his hands, always touching his lips. Why is he there? It's not envy, it's just sweetness. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Okay.